Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to the gorgeous Alexandra, a registered music therapist from Devonport, Tasmania.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We've had a high TASP population.
We have. I think this is
our third TASP for the year.
Which is really extraordinary. Our guest is cheering. Yeah, it's wonderful. We've got lots of beautiful listeners down there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So Melbourne weather, it's fine today.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Autumn is the most beautiful time of
year. Yes. That's
cold
when you want to come here.
Warm days.
You can sleep.
I said to someone the other day, I love March. And they're like, oh, so does everyone else. They all get married. I said, oh, do they?
Really?
I was like, maybe.
My mum and dad were 1st of March.
Yeah. So maybe it is a Melbourne March thing.
Maybe.
People get married.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. It's been a while since I've had the old wedding invites.
So. Yeah, true. So we have got our guest ready. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, Kate and Mandy. I'm Alex and I'm a registered music therapy.
Yes.
It's so fun to be here, and I was also married in March.
Oh,
it's a Tassie.
Well, there you go.
So Tassie, beautiful Marches as well.
Yes, well, it's supposed to be the most perfect month in Tasmania, but here the weather, well, it's not so bad today, but yesterday it was extremely hot. We are experiencing a huge drought, which is...
Yeah,
if we didn't have a leap year this year, February would have been the driest month on record in Tasmania.
Really?
Because you got one extra day and it rained on it, did it?
Best ever.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, there you go.
It's not a drought in Melbourne, but it's been dry.
Yeah,
very dry.
Definitely, and hot, so hot. So, okay, Kate, take away.
Okay, our first question. Do you have, this is very poignant for you. Do you have music or a song, like your favourite song, that either lifts you up when you're feeling down or pumps you up when you're feeling good?
Yes, it is a very poignant question for me. And when I first started listening to you both many years ago, when was it? Like three
years ago? Oh, we started in 2019. So it's nearly 5 years.
Started listening in 2020. I was so excited. I was like, yay, these are music therapists at heart. This is such a fantastic.
We do love music.
Yeah, we do love music.
That's exactly how music therapists make a relationship with a family and a pea shoot is we ask what their favorite is.
Ah.
So it was really, really lovely. So my favorite music, a song that really lifts me up. It changes all the time.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I don't have one that really I hold strongly to for many different reasons, but I go through phases. And my current favourite song, or one that we're really enjoying in my family, is a song called Good Day for a Good Day by Michael Franti and Spearhead.
Ooh. Oh, I do not know this.
No.
So Michael Franti and Spearhead, they're a bit of a reggae band. Oh. And I think it was maybe their latest album. It really is, the whole album's a P album.
Right.
It's actually, as soon as I started listening to it, I was like, oh, the P Tribe would love this
great
album.
Right.
So A Good Day for a Good Day is a super pump-up song. It's really joyous, and we like listening to it on the way to school in our car as a way of just helping us get in the zone and ready for a good day at school.
Yeah.
But I have obviously gazillions of musicians that I love and adore. And I have to say, as a musician, music therapist, I probably have musicians that are a little bit, I don't know, to the mainstream.
Yeah, of course.
To what people like to listen to. I adore Avi Kaplan.
I don't know.
No. I know. Well, great. Tell the world.
Avi Kaplan used to be on Pentatonix.
Oh, yes. I know Pentatonix. Oh, gorgeous.
Singer on Pentatonix. So these days he's a solo artist and spends a lot of time in the woods in California writing music.
Oh, beautiful.
I love Voce 8, which is an a cappella vocal choir group from the UK.
Ah.
I love Gregory Alan Isikoff.
Absolutely none of them. But if they've got a cappella, if they've got harmonies
yes, oh, we're in.
You know, the Indigo Girls.
Oh.
Awesome. And I have a particular passion at the moment for a Tasmanian musician. Her name is Claire Ann Taylor, and she's also a P.
Ah.
Her music is just phenomenal. So I really just wanted to give a shout out. Claire is a singer-songwriter and an amazing storyteller. Music is really joyous and will pump you up. She's got a song called Singing in the Drunken Choir.
That sounds good.
Like the best choir ever.
Yeah.
And I really experienced her drunken choir at a show of hers up in a little tiny hall in the just in the countryside from where I live. And everyone was enjoying themselves with a glass of wine, and I really felt the drunken choir. It was just marvellous.
It sounds beautiful.
Also writes some songs that are just, really true and honest and can really connect to and really emotive. Mm. She has a song called My Mother the Mountain. Mm. And oh, my
God. Wow. Geez.
Listen to it when you're feeling vulnerable because it will be in a really dark place.
Yeah.
But it's also songs that you can really resonate to. Support Claire, she's amazing.
Oh, we'll put her on the playlist.
Yep, everything will be on the playlist. Annalise have her work cut out for this list.
Well, maybe not all of them, but definitely Claire.
Yeah, oh, and she loves music. She will love to find all those.
Yeah, great.
Mm. Tell us, did you win any awards at school?
No.
Welcome. Come in. The water's warm.
I am an average A.
Yeah.
I mean, just average. A for average.
Yep.
I went to a really elite private girls' school.
Right.
And I actually went to my 20th year reunion last year.
Ah.
I was the dark black, like very black sheep among the girls I went to school with. I stood in a photo of about 40 women and I was the only one that didn't do medicine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your school must have a high success rate for getting into med.
Yeah, well, when we sat down in the beginning about, like, they brought us all into the lecture theatre and all these memories coming back, and they proudly said that over 80% of girls that graduate from this school go on to do engineering, law or medicine.
Wow.
I hope over 80% of girls who attend there, I hope that's their dream.
Yeah, true.
I thought too, Kate.
Yeah.
That's how I felt too. But in reflection, they are also part of the P Tribe because they are nurturing and caring for.
Oh, and we need them. Yeah, and we need the best women.
And it's time for women to have those, you know, expectations, not unrealistically, but like, you can do this.
Yeah.
This is for you too, you know, not just for the boys' school down the road.
Yeah, so, that's right. Yeah. Amazing.
Yep.
Absolutely. So it wasn't my experience. It wasn't going to ever be my journey because I was so connected and adored music. Mm. But, and, you know, when you're sitting amongst really elite women, it's really hard to, like, I was actually reflecting upon what could I have won when I was at high school?
Yeah. What hope did I have?
And I was thinking, well, I guess that it was a school that didn't really just acknowledge, like, kind, good people.
Mm. I think that's a newer thing anyway.
Yeah.
It is, because since knowing that I was going to come in and talk with you both, my daughter received an award at school, and it was, I've written it down, being a kind and generous classmate who does everything with a smile on her face.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful award.
And I'm sure when she got it, she said, I'd like to thank my mum.
No.
All right. Thank you. And our favourite question is, why are you a P or part of our P tribe?
Because I'm a music therapy. Mm. I've been a registered music therapist for 18 years.
Yeah, wow.
It's something that I've dedicated my entire adult life to.
So did you play music at school or sing or all of the above?
Yeah, yes, yes, and yes. lots of people often say to me, you must come from a musical family because you're musical. And yes, I believe that's really true, but I also believe that everyone's musical and it really just depends on how much that's nurtured.
Mm.
Musical families generally nurture music because they know the importance of it.
Yes.
So I grew up in a musical family. My grandfather was the Launceston City Organist for a very long
time. Wow.
And it was really lovely when I used to work in aged care in Launceston and people would say, oh, you're Graham's granddaughter.
Oh, gorgeous.
That was, really beautiful. My auntie is a professional musician and throughout other areas of my family, we just adore and have loved music.
Yeah.
For me, I really developed a huge choral love. I love singing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really started when I was about 10 or 11 years of age, and I started singing in a local children's choir in Brisbane.
Ah.
Imogen Children's Chorale, which was a big children's choir many years ago. And it was there that I just got an absolute bug for choral singing.
Mm.
And, so in high school I was in all the choirs that I could be in.
Great.
And I also played the piano and I also played a bit of double bass.
Ah, right, cool.
Yeah. So that's really where my musical journey was really instilled and developed this great love of singing.
And so when you were in like year 10 and 11, did you do a music degree, did you do music therapy, what did you do and how did you choose your pathway?
So I didn't know about music therapy when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I remember 20 years ago, 22 years ago, we used to have this big, thick book.
Yes.
Of course. Yes.
Yes.
Courses.
Mm.
I remember seeing music therapy in there, but I didn't know anyone that was studying music therapy. It just wasn't even in my periphery, music therapy. What I knew was that I loved singing.
Mm.
But it didn't really become clear until I started my Bachelor of Music in classical singing, that really what I loved about singing was the ability to make harmony, connect with others. And I knew that there was something far more to music than just making music to perform to people or making music to entertain people. Mm. So I started my singing degree just knowing I loved singing.
Yeah.
But I just felt a bit empty.
Mm.
I just, it's not going to be my trajectory, but I don't know what it is.
As in, you didn't think I wanted to be a performer or
no, a soloist? No, because what I loved was singing with others.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And I just didn't know how I could make that work. Like, yeah. How do you actually make out of singing with others?
Yeah.
Like, there are super groups like Forte 8, and I was singing in a choir that it just has become a lifelong passion called the Australian Voices, which is a Brisbane-based a cappella group that champions Australian composers. Wow. So I was doing that, but I just didn't know how I could make a living out of it.
Mm.
To be honest, the idea of working and being in theatres until midnight every night and the trying to actually make a living out of that and have a life and potentially raise a family in the future just seemed like, how do I even make that work?
Yeah. Mm.
Lost for 2 years in my degree.
Yeah.
And just by chance, in 2005, I think it was, the World Congress of Music Therapy was happening in Brisbane.
Ah.
So I said to my family, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to go. I feel like I need to be there.
Awesome.
So I sat down at the World Congress of Music Therapy in Brisbane, and the first presenter was a woman called Helen Schumark. All her research and work had been at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne.
Right.
She's the head of music therapy at Templeton University in the US.
Wow.
And it just hit me like this nothing else.
Yeah.
Sliding doors moment.
Wow.
I was doing a presentation about music therapy in neonates in intensive care at the children's.
Oh, wow.
And I just, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Oh, wow.
So much so that I just had one of the best weeks of my life. I rang up the coordinator at the University of Queensland and said, how do I get in?
Yeah, right. So
I transferred my degree and the rest is history.
Wow.
So glad you went.
Yeah, me too.
And so did that mean you had to move to Queensland or was there anything online at that time? Or
are you confused? Because yeah. I grew up in Queensland
when you were saying you're in a children's choir in Brisbane. And
oh, no, I missed all that. I just thought you were in Tassie.
That's
okay,
quite
sorry,
a commute I'm for my choir each week.
Complicated history. So I grew up in Brisbane, but I have Tasmanian family.
Right.
My mum's Tasmanian. Oh. And so when I left school, I thought, I'm going to study music, but I don't want to study in Brisbane. I want to go and explore a little bit. And I thought, I've spent every summer in Tasmania visiting my family. It's sort of a safe next step.
Yeah.
So I went over to the conservatorium down there.
Wow.
And then, ironically, they don't have music therapy in Tasmania. So Brisbane to finish my degree. However, once I finished my degree, my boyfriend, now husband at the time, I met him when I was in Hobart, and his family said, come down to Tasmania. There's lots of music therapy work for you down here. So we made the move back to Tassie, and I've been here ever since.
Right. Wow.
And obviously you love Tassie.
Yes. yeah, look, I think at the time it was an opportunity just to, spread my wings a little bit.
Yeah. And maybe be a bit of a pioneer down there. I don't know. Did it feel like that?
So therapy still is very much pioneering in Tasmania. You know, I've supervised Masters of Music Therapy students occasionally down here in Tassie, and I always say you need to get out of the state and go and actually get a placement at the Royal Children's Hospital or out there, just so you have an experience of what a music therapy team looks and feels like.
Yes.
You don't have that. Music therapy in Tasmania is very much community-based.
Yes.
in community for community. So it's very, very different. But yes, I feel passionately Tasmanian now. And a thing that I love about being a music therapist here in Devonport is that you're really accountable to the community. You know, you're not just hidden from the, I was thinking about you, Mandy, who you reflected about going shopping at, is it Eastlands?
Yes, Eastlands, yep.
And thinking like, oh, yes, you could most likely go shopping at Eastlands and not be seen.
Yeah.
But as a music therapist in Devonport, like if I go to Coles, it depends like time of the day, how many people I'm going to see at Coles.
Oh, I bet you're like the local kinder teacher. Yeah, everyone will be all over you. Yeah.
And that's like that for any community-based profession.
Yes, of course.
But I think it's you know, some people might not like that.
Yeah.
That, love it. I really love you know, being able to give to community and work in community.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh,
is that so? When you started, did you start off on your own or?
Yeah, so I didn't get a choice. There was my husband's family, like, there's lots of music therapy work, but it wasn't like, here's a job.
Yeah, you have to create it.
You have to create it.
Yeah. I mean, it's very different now. There are music therapy jobs everywhere.
Really?
But years ago, there was not music therapy jobs, especially. Actually, before the internet did cold calling, hello, I'm Alex Morse. I'm a registered music therapist. Oh, yeah, what's that?
Wow.
If you need music therapy in your service.
Right.
That's why. So I naturally fell into a place where aged care facilities just grabbed me, which was just amazing.
Yes, of course.
Also early childhood, so the birth. So I spent really about 15 years working in the beginning of life and the end.
Yes, wow, which is very really precious.
Super precious time.
Yeah.
My greatest passion was bringing the two together.
Yes.
That was really lovely. And one of my first jobs was in a residential aged care facility, and I remember doing a session with a group of residents that were maybe 20 of them, and we were all sitting around in a circle. We're all engaging in active music making. And for whatever reason in that day or in that session, I started singing a song, Just the Way You Look Tonight. Someday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm awfully low. When the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you.
Yep.
And the way you look tonight. And in that moment, there was a woman who I've been seeing this person 6 months every week, and she had severe end-of-life dementia, completely nonverbal, very little communication, so withdrawn. And she started singing. And not only did she sing, but she was lying in one of the princess chairs that were Winona's phone. And she started moving her legs up out of the chair. And inside I'm thinking, please remember every word, because in that moment it's like, if I get the word wrong, she might disengage. But you know, it's pretty amazing when all the residents are crying.
Oh, yeah. I feel like howling.
And all the staff have, you know, one staff was watching, and then they'd gone and grabbed each other. And there's a pin could drop in the room. And it was in that moment I realized, like, this is exactly what I should be doing.
Yes.
Like, why I did chose music therapy.
Yes.
Because its ability to connect with the most vulnerable is, you know, we know the research behind it now, but it still feels like magic when it happens, actually.
Of course.
Yeah. Magic.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us some of that research.
So music can be used in all areas of our life. right? Mm-hmm. And we have lots of understanding now with MRI imaging about how amazing the brain and music is in connecting our entire brain.
Yes.
Yep.
To think like, oh, music was on one side of the brain and yes. something else was there. We now know that's not true. No stimuli that humans can experience that can light up and ignite a brain as much as music.
Really?
Like fireworks going off in someone. We know that music increases a person's dopamine when we listen to music.
Oh, yep, definitely.
The two-piece playlist is like the dopamine.
Yeah.
So we know we've got food increases dopamine, sleep can increase dopamine, exercise can increase dopamine, sex can increase yep. dopamine, and music.
Yeah.
So all these four things are really biological. They're ingrained in humans. But music is also something that can increase dopamine. We know that music, we can have a physiological response to music.
Mm.
Have you, Andy and Kate, have you ever had a... Oh,
often.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It and
look at those big goosebumps.
Yeah. Goosebumps, yeah. Crying.
Tears.
Yep. Definitely.
My girls were saying to me the other day, they were asking me, we had to like choose five songs for different things. And then they were like, well, what's a song that always makes you cry? And the three of us all said Traveling Soldier by the Chicks.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And we were like, you, as we were saying it, we were crying. Oh. Just the saying the sentence, yes. not even listening to the song.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's just such an incredible thing. And there's nothing like music that can actually connect a person back to their memories.
Oh, yeah. So true.
Have our own musical identity, and we call it a bit of musical mapping in music therapy world. We know that from the age of 10 to 30 years old is the strongest time that you will form a memory bump. So that means the music that's influenced in your life that you listen to from 10 to 30 will carry with you for the rest of your life.
Oh, how interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
You might appreciate music as you get older and you might enjoy it, but it's not going to be as meaningful to you as when from you were 10 to 30 years of age.
Oh, fascinating.
It's really interesting to me because – my church that I grew up in, we weren't allowed to listen to any music that wasn't Christian.
Ah.
And so it was, I would do anything to listen to music. Like my boyfriend bought me a Walkman and I snuck it into the house and I'd listen to it when everybody would go to bed. I would just listen to, like, I don't know, I'm old, Aha, Crowded House, John Farnham. I was desperate. I was like, I knew it was sinning and I knew it was wrong, but I had to listen to that music. So, I feel like for me, the music from my childhood is the first little tiny bits of freedom that I ever eked out for myself.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And for me, from 10 to 30, I was in the church all the time. So that music is like,
shout to the Lord.
I can sing all of those.
Yes.
You know, word for word, or standing next to mum and dad in church, singing with them. All that's my core memories.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating.
Do you know what, Mandy? That music is going to carry with you for the rest of your life.
It's so fascinating.
Connection with Christianity, potentially, it's going to be really important.
Yeah. Well, it is. But, you know, even when I was having my like lowest moments of my faith, I threw all the CDs out and now I wish I kept them, but even though you can get them all online now, but I feel sad that I did that.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. We're all crying about it.
I'll just give you my Medicare card later.
Put it on the NDIS plan. I'll give you Molly's number.
It really hit me. Really powerful. And I think my best friend also grew up in the church, Rachel, and her and I, the thing that we do together is we go to music festivals, and some of it is new music like Ballpark I've only discovered in the last 10 years, but every time we hug each other and cry.
Yeah.
Like it's like we didn't have this.
Yeah.
And now we have this and we're connecting in a way that we might have done at 14. And we always say, can you believe we're here?
Yeah.
Powerful.
Wow.
Very powerful. I work with a young person who has an acquired brain injury. And he's been referred to me to work on his speech and language. He describes speaking these days. He'll say, when I speak, no, he'll say, speaking, block, block, block.
Wow.
Singing, freedom.
Oh.
And I have spent the last 2 years working out what are his important songs that are part of his memory bump that he can still recall. Ironically, we also carry what we call inheritance tracks.
Yeah.
So inheritance are songs that are influenced by mostly our family members.
Yeah.
Wow.
The songs are important to me. Like I remember as a child playing on the piano Flow Gently, Sweet Upton, which is a Glaswegian piece of music. And my dad... He just loved me playing that piece of music and it's really important to me. So every time I hear that song, I think of my dad and those memories. For this young person, he was being surrounded by music of his sister.
Yep.
Whilst recalling words is really tricky, he can sing the whole soundtrack to Frozen.
Wow, yes.
And it's a great soundtrack.
Well, it is.
It's great.
I listened to it a lot in 2013.
So did I.
Yeah, wow.
He's such shame and disgust, but I just think it's amazing.
It's magic.
Oh, it's amazing. Yes.
And he can sing with such flow that he doesn't have when he speaks.
Yeah, right.
For a good while there, he received an assistant's dog, but it was a puppy. And so I was teaching him or supporting him to sing commands because he couldn't speak them, he couldn't recall them in speech, but he could sing them.
Wow.
So that was really, really a fun project. But it's really amazing. Music in the brain.
I can't even concentrate.
I've been speaking to a few people lately and, you know, I'm 51 now, nearly 52. And so I think I'm at that point in my life where I'm reflecting on my youth and my old age to come. Like I'm right there, right? So it's the next phase of my life. And a lot of my friends, for some reason, we were talking about music that our parents listened to. And before my parents became super religious, obviously Irish music all the time, we used to dance to it, my dad and I. But my aunt, who lived with us for a few years, and her maiden name is actually Woody's middle name.
Yeah.
Buzzers. No, Woody. Yeah. I can't remember who's who. But she loved John Denver, loved John Denver. And last night when I was driving Buzz and Woody to kickboxing at 8 o'clock at night, which is not my favorite thing to do, I put on John Denver and then I was listening to Annie's song and it makes me weep every time.
I learned that on the piano.
Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, now obviously I have come out and I was like, I remember listening to that song and thinking that's what it's like to love a woman as a, you know, like a 10 or 12 year old, but I didn't know why I used to rewind it and listen to the song and rewind it and listen to the song.
Wow.
And now I'm like, oh, the song just, you know, and I came home and my partner's like, what? And then I was singing, thank God I'm a country boy. Because, you know, she's like, are you singing John Denver? I was like, yes I love John Denver.
I didn't know what I know now.
I know now. But
sit down, I'm going to serenade you. With my daughter Molly, who has a severe speech, you know, delay, but sometimes she'll sing with her headphones on in her bedroom and we will all stand outside her door and go like this.
Yeah.
All her sisters will just be like, listen, there's no better sound than when you've heard a child whose speech is so difficult to be singing. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, music. Yeah.
And that's your most, job.
Yeah.
That's your job.
I need to do this job.
That's wonderful, wonderful thing. And to see young people, any person, have freedom through their music when speech has been such a challenge for them. And they hold a lot of anxiety, to be able to show them a way to be able to connect their speaking identity and their musical identity and their self is such an amazing thing. I work with a young person who has had their family carry so much trauma, and there are some days when they come to music therapy and I just have to look at mum and I know that they've had the most horrid week. Their son being so violent. And I just think it's phenomenal that they've even been able to get in the car and come to his
house. Yes.
It is such a privilege when they walk through their doors that they want to spend their time with me.
Yes.
And I know, I don't know, actually, I've only just witnessed some of the trauma that family goes through. But to see their son transform into the most beautiful, eloquent, full of expression, dancing and moving and creating through music, and to bring mother and son together in that place where they're no longer carer and child, or carer of a person with disability, but they're making music together.
Beautiful.
It's just the greatest privilege. So hopefully, it doesn't always happen, but then to walk out of that door knowing that they've had that moment together, so when it gets hard next time, she can draw like that strength of like those moments.
Oh, definitely. Just,
it's a real privilege.
Oh, it is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tell us how people can access music therapy, like within their NDIS plan, or how does that look? What does it look like?
Yeah, sure. Up until the NDIS, it was really hard to access music therapy. Organisations would apply for grants after grants, and it still happens. And it really depended on the leadership of an organisation, whether they had an experience in music therapy. Generally, experience, they would champion it. I remember even 10 years ago getting phone call from our, you know, leading pediatric therapy centre in Launceston saying, we've got funding for music therapy one day a week. We received a grant. Here is our referral list. There's 200 children that aren't accessing or occupational therapy. Good luck.
Oh my word.
But now, if you have an NDIS plan, music therapy is within capacity building. The Australian Music Therapy Association has worked really hard in advocacy and education in making sure that that's accessible to the P tribe. So if you have capacity building funding, if you have funding, you can access a registered music therapist through that funding. Some people say, "Oh, how do I actually get music therapy funding?" And generally a way to start is to say, "Okay, we've had been allocated 20 hours of speech pathology. We've only used 15.
Yep.
Can I use that for music therapy?" Yes.
Great.
Strange, but yes, you can access it, a music therapist, a registered music therapist using that funding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a start. It's a door in. And generally that then gives people a registered music therapist the opportunity to do an assessment and to write a report and advocate for music therapy funding.
Got
for
it.
Further.
Mm.
My families are incredible advocates and champions of music therapy, and they will work their absolute hardest to make sure that music therapy is included on their plans.
Yeah.
Mm. We are so fortunate that for the first time ever, families have choice. There are holes. We all know the holes in the NDIS.
Yeah.
Families have choice and control in how they spend those therapy dollars.
That's the beauty of it.
And as a result, the P tribe, people with disabilities, they're not just running. They're like, they're storming music therapies.
Yeah.
Music therapy.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, there's a huge demand for music therapy and not enough music therapists.
Yeah, wow. I know we have a lot of music therapist listeners. We've had our gorgeous.
Had a couple on before.
Yes, Simone. That's right. Beautiful, Simone. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
There are about 800 music therapists around the country working right across the lifespan from the very beginning of life to the end of life in all areas, in mental health, in palliative care, in pediatrics, any health setting, you name it, there'll be music therapists.
That's really
working
not that many.
That.
No. 800 around Australia, you said.
Yeah, that's not many.
No.
Yeah. So the Australian Music Therapy Association has been in existence for 49 years this year.
Right.
So we're about to have
Wow. Yeah.
So one of our leading music therapists, Ruth Bright, was our first champion of music therapy. She specialised in aged care, and she held the first music therapy meeting in Australia 50 years ago.
Wow, what a woman.
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah. She was incredibly, we are phenomenally indebted to the work of Ruth Bright.
Mm.
Since then, we now have two music therapy training courses. They're both master's courses.
Right.
Master's in Music Therapy at the University of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And a Master's in Music Therapy at the University of Western Sydney.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep.
There's a huge demand at the moment for more universities to take on music therapy.
Mm. And or just like whatever. I'm just thinking, is there an entry level?
Can you do it undergrad? Anywhere in the world, can you do it as undergrad?
There might be. I'm fairly certain that you can do it.
Maybe not. Mm.
No. I was actually fortunate and unfortunate to be one of the last undergraduates of music therapy.
Right.
So I did a bachelor's of therapy at the University of Queensland before the course closed.
Right. Ah. Wow.
The reason why it is a master's course is because it is incredibly intensive.
Yeah.
And the training to be a qualified allied health professional.
Yes, that's right. Qualified. Yeah.
And whilst my experience is unique in the fact that I graduated as a 21-year-old, which is really unheard of, it's my experience that some of the best therapists come with life experience.
Yes.
Often people come to the profession of music therapy because they've experienced music in some way that has been transformative in helping someone's life.
Mm.
And they've experienced that magic moment and they've gone, wow, this is phenomenal. I want to learn about this further.
Mm.
There's a huge amount of people that apply every year to attend these courses.
Of course.
And the universities can't feel the need. And one of the challenges is because you have to do a huge amount of placement hours to be a qualified.
Of course.
Similar to OT or physio, I suppose, but they are four-year degrees alone.
Yeah, so it's the same amount of training hours as if you're doing any other allied health. And really because because we have so few music therapists in the country, there's only so many places that they can go and do.
And it's expensive because you don't get paid for those placement hours. And then you can't have so much of a part-time or casual job because you're actually working – you know, 3 month placement, and it's all tricky. But there are smarter people than us that could sort this out.
I mean, that's the dream, is that people can have a living wage while they study. Challenge. It's been a huge challenge in Tasmania because up until recently, people had to leave the
state,
island. Now the University of Melbourne offer a distance learning course. So they have to go into intensives in Melbourne, but then they can do their placements. And that's really helped Tasmanians, for example, if they need therapy, and particularly Australians living in regional and remote communities. And this has really shifted the landscape as far as accessibility goes, and it means like someone like me in regional Tasmania can build a thriving therapy clinic. Before, it just wouldn't have been possible, but because there are people with living with disability with disabilities all around the country in all areas of life, they all have funding, which is just it's really phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Oh, wow. I can talk to you about music.
Oh, me too. I'm just thinking, is it culturally diverse, the music therapists? Like, have we got people from different cultures?
Yeah, so it's absolutely, it's an international profession.
Yeah.
I went to the World Congress of Music Therapy in Japan a few years ago.
Awesome.
And amazing, 3,000 music therapists all in the same.
So fun.
Oh, music therapy conferences are the best.
I bet they are. Do you start off singing to start the day?
Sorry?
Do you start singing to start the day? Like, do you have warm-ups? Literally. Oh, it sounds amazing.
Of course we do. Of course Yeah, no, it's just amazing. So much music making. And there's so much freedom in being with music therapists too. It's so wonderful. You don't need to give instruction. Everyone just jumps in.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Is there show-offs that sing harmony all the time? Of course there is. Like, here comes Susie from the Northern Territory. She's an alto. Lisa, I was a Sweet Adeline for 5 years. That is women's a cappella. I have seen it all in the Sweet Adeline world. I loved it and parts loathed it. But... the joy of coming together in those conferences and the competitions were amazing.
So wonderful. So something that I am incredibly, obviously my background's choirs, but I am so passionate about choirs. I really feel like the P Tribe should genuinely consider being part of a choir.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Preach it. Tell us why.
So I run a large community choir in Devonport. This year we have about 60 singers that come Wednesday night to sing with me. They come from all walks of life. I just feel so privileged that I can have a community group where doctors and physiotherapists can sit amongst people that are experiencing such hardship and they can make.
Yes.
Thing that I think choirs can do, not all of them, peas have got such tumultuous lives, especially primary carers of people with disability, and coming to a choir and being part of a choir means that they can They don't have to run a marathon.
No.
But they can see the dopamine effect of running a marathon.
Yep.
Why your brain can completely shut off from everything in your life.
That's true.
Not having to be when you can't be there, for the most part, it's okay.
Yes.
And I have many P's in my choir, and some days, some nights, I'll get a text message saying, respite didn't show up today.
Yep.
I'm not coming. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I also have some P's that will say, I'm here today, but my brain is not here, but I know I need to show up.
Oh.
Ask me questions.
Yes, powerful. Oh,
yep.
And I'll just say, that's fine, just show up.
Yes. Well done, Alex.
Show. Just be here. Yep. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Just the fact that you're here.
Yeah.
Singing in a community makes you connect with all walks of life and people that haven't had anything to do with before.
Yep.
I'm really proud that my choir are incredibly nurturing of each other.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's something that I have definitely led and led by example.
Yep.
Know when someone doesn't show up and someone will follow up to see
awesome,
if they're okay.
Awesome.
Really important.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud that my choir can actually step up and make a pretty good sound by the end of the
Great.
Because we're not a choir of choir of high hopes or, you know, it's not a therapy choir per se.
Yeah. But it does all that underneath all the time. Yeah.
But I'm really proud at the end of the day they can actually stand up confidently in front of an audience and go, wow.
Yeah.
And I achieved
that. Yeah, you should be proud.
So good.
I mean, I know it's nothing like that, but pub choir where there's, you know, 1,000 people coming
together.
We get
a night of it.
And you're like, this sounds incredible. And these people, most of them don't know anything about harmonies. They're just, but it's being in that room.
Yeah.
It's
no pressure. Like, if I don't.
No pressure. It's not.
When I was a part of the Sweet Airlines chorus, there was a bit of pressure. And sometimes that was too much for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Pub choir is phenomenal and it is wonderful, and I really hope, and I'm quite certain that P Tribe make the most of pub choir, but it's the ability to be able to connect with others.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's the weekly.
It's the community building. Yeah.
I did it at high school.
Standing
I
on the risers, behind people. Yeah. Every time, same people. Yeah. Mm. The loud lead in my ear. I could talk to you about
or the person that's like, you're not singing the proper harmony, and they just cover their ears. And you're like, okay, I already feel bad.
Well, you know, my friend Kim, she listens to this podcast. She's a rule follower. So I would stand behind her and I'd just be like, oh, I hate this song. And she'd be like, I don't want to talk to you because I'm trying to listen to the director, but you're just constantly annoying me. Fun.
Look, I love choir politics.
Oh,
and I love
massive.
And I also... you know, I love that my back three rows of The Sopranos will play up every night.
It's the best. Yeah.
It's wonderful. In fact, if they didn't play up, I'd actually be a bit
worried.
Sad about it.
Yeah, because they're funny.
Worried. I realise that, you know, we all have music that's important to us and we have loves and hates of music. And hopefully I just, like, journey them through a piece of music that they might not like. In fact, my choir hated... we did a Kate Bush piece last year.
Oh.
Ah, dun, 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 dun. What is that piece of now?
It's gone.
It doesn't hurt me. Hated it. They absolutely hated it. And I was like, why? Oh, gosh, it's amazing. But at the end of the year, they were like, no, we love this song now.
Yes.
Wow. I just think it's lovely that they can trust me to help them journey through the year in singing. But look, every choir is really different and depends on who's leading it. If you can find a choir that's led by a music therapist, I think that's
awesome. I need to find one. I think
that's the top of the list.
Understanding than, you know, a traditional choral conductor.
Yeah.
If you if singing elite music is going to fill your bucket, then absolutely go find find that. You know, there's as someone who's passionate about singing, I love singing in elite choirs. It's just amazing. But for the P tribe, something really different and important about singing in like a true community choir.
If you're listening to this and you are in a community choir, maybe you could go to our Facebook group, 2P's in a podcast hangout,
and tell us
where these choirs are, and then maybe that would be a great way for the P's to find them and trust that they will be okay.
Look, I recently had a friend say to me, oh, I tried singing in a choir but I only lasted 4 weeks, and I was like, why? And she said, oh, well, I came in and they welcomed me, but then I sat down and the lady beside me said, oh, no, that's Jan's seat.
Oh, yeah, look. I've got a lot to say. Yeah.
And that's Mandy's spot.
Yes.
And that's not my choir.
Yeah, great.
But I champion that doesn't happen. And if I saw anyone doing that.
You're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that. You're never out of my choir.
No, I don't.
But then also it gave us a lot to laugh about, like my friends and I.
Yes.
But interestingly, I was out with three of my friends last week who we were in. I was in Vocal Vibes with, and one of them said, when we went to Canberra for competition, Mandy, you cried the whole weekend, and you actually spent a lot of time in your room by yourself, because home was really hard when I left the children. And I was like, I didn't know. I knew I cried, but I didn't realize how withdrawn I was, because I was just couldn't believe I was there.
Yes.
It was very interesting, because that was 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, you don't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was so hard to leave them, but I knew I had to go. Yeah.
So beneficial to go.
Yeah, and it was. And yeah, I just cried the whole weekend. Yeah, but I realized that was a lot for everyone else probably. But she said, you were fine and it didn't matter to me. But I'm just reminding you that it was really difficult when you went, but you did it. Yeah. So I think for peas, you know, the idea of leaving and being, you know, if there's a competition or something like that, or there's a, we've got to sing at the shopping centre, and you just think, I just don't think I can do it. Well, maybe you can give it a little go, even if your kids follow you out to the car because they're so anxious you're leaving.
Incredibly wise advice, and I think that's the biggest fear from my community is leaving the family.
Yes.
I think, you know, a weekly commitment of a couple of hours is like such a great starting place.
Yep.
NDIS plans now. Hopefully some of you can access respite.
Yeah, this is support where workers. Yep. Yeah.
That often can be the start. It's like, how do I bring a worker into my family? It's because my mental health needs to be supported and I'm going to try singing in a choir.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if I could go back and really hold myself and talk to myself as a young mum, I would say they will be fine.
Yeah.
You can have an hour to yourself, because I didn't believe they would be fine.
Yeah.
I was racked with guilt.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes there are peas or single mums or single dads who don't have a safe person they can trust with their children, but you probably can find it if you look hard enough. And I wish that I had given myself a little bit more.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you have 2-year-old twins or you whatever.
Learn from us.
Learn. You can do it. It's okay. And they actually survive. They can't they even remember. You went out for an hour.
Yeah.
You get in return, it gives you so much more strength to be there when you come back.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Yeah. Yep.
Well, this has been beautiful. Alex, I've loved talking to you. It's just been one of my...
We could go on for another 3 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get you back another time.
Yeah,
hey?
Yeah, maybe.
But you've done your music therapy world so proud. You've...
Thanks.
Is there anything we've missed, though, that you want to tell us? Because I'm sure we've missed 100 things.
Oh, look, there's so much I could talk about, and I'm so passionate about really embedding music into the P tribe's life. I just wanted to plant the seed about you all using music intentionally through your day.
Yes, thank you.
And not haphazardly, But if you ever get a moment to yourself to think about those really important times, the tricky times through the day, the tricky transitions that you have during the day, and when could music be helpful through those times of the day? We know as music therapists, we have this a theory called the ISO principle. When someone is really heightened, we use heightened music to connect with them. When we bring music down, we'll level much more regulation.
Right.
Or if someone's really low, we use music to connect with them and then slowly bring it up to a better state.
Oh, that sounds great.
For example, if we're, you know, shopping at Coles, and because Coles deliberately have like happy, bouncy music so that you purchase more.
Yep.
If you're in a terrible mood, like how much do you just want to like throw rock?
Yeah.
I'm working on sunshine. And you're
like, no, I'm not.
Not today.
I can't find the cheese.
Yeah, right? So we know that we need to meet that person wherever their emotional regular state is, right? If we know that when we're going to pick up our children at 3 o'clock this afternoon and they are just going to unravel because they've been so hard and they're going to mask all day, we're not going to play "And You're in the Car." Right? They're going to be here and they're going to be really heightened, and then "And You're" going to come in underneath and they're going to be like, I can't even, my brain can't connect to that, right? My brain cannot connect to that music because I am so heightened. I'm really tough day. So we need to be able to play music in the car that's going to meet their mood. Right? And then slowly we can transition that music down to a more regulated state.
I
really want to encourage the P's to think about those really tricky times throughout their day that where they can intentionally use music.
I am going to. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll leave anything with you. It's to find those songs that are in your memory bump from 10 to 30 and intentionally use them for your own mental health and well-being. To reminisce using music in your inheritance tracks, think about all your family members, but also to use music through those really tricky times, because I can really attest to how effective it can be and how much more supported you can feel as a parent that you've got this amazing tool.
Oh. Yeah, we're a bit overcome and overwhelmed, but it's been so amazing.
Alex.
I wish I knew this earlier. I mean, somehow I knew some of it just deep in
me. Well, and I think when I were little, I did lots more music, but as I've got older, I've backed off because they're like, we don't want to listen to the Dixie Chicks again, or but how can I bring that back into my house? Yeah.
But then interestingly, when I was driving to kickboxing last night and I put Country Roads Take Me Home, Woody was singing along.
Oh.
But he would not have wanted me to put that on.
Yes.
But then it's probably in his. Oh, Mum used to listen to this when I was, you know.
Yes, so, that memory bump and that's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So good.
We have to go.
We have to go.
Thank
you. To leave you in peace.
So much. And we will put everything in the show notes. People can find you. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a privilege.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.